Well, welcome everyone. Good afternoon and welcome to the Sports Review here on Planet 104.6 FM. If you're listening on planetaudio.org.nz, just flew in this morning from a really great weekend in Wellington, watching my favourite team, apart from the All Blacks, the Eden Lizards, have a fantastic 29-3 win over Eastbourne at a very, very cold, miserable Evans Bay Park. And I have to say the weather conditions weren't the best, but you know, the Lizards came through in the end, and and this competition, it goes to Eden Park for the final. It's a 12 p.m. kickoff, we believe, at this stage, and it's going to be live on Sky TV. But I'm saying, anyone that is an ex-Lizard or anyone who wants to watch a game of restricted rugby, get down to Eden Park because this is going to be good. I know one man who will be one man who will be there, and who I know enjoyed the All Blacks, was AJ Whitten. Good afternoon, AJ.
Yeah, Piggy, you sound a bit rough around the edges, mate. And, yeah, good to see your team come through. I hear it's a stack full of bloody...
No. Got to read the rules, AJ. Yeah, we won't go down that because I've read the rules, and the rules are what they are. But AJ, I'm looking forward to seeing you this Saturday at Eden Park, but believe me, I think this game's going to be a great spectacle as well too. So I really do.
Well, get down there, support it. It's something that the Barbarians have sponsored within the NZR. Two teams, Auckland teams. There's no excuses. You can see a curtain raised before Auckland play North, and I think it's about 11:30, Piggy, and. Your Eden Lizards against the University Squids. It'll be a boulder.
I think it will be, mate, and hopefully we can catch up afterwards and have a quiet ale or two. Talking about something that was fantastic over the weekend, All Blacks versus Wallabies. What a game of rugby. How good were the All Blacks, AJ?
Yeah, look, we knew they were going to come out. I thought that the Aussies would have a bit more up their sleeve, but... just goes to show you the All Blacks, once they start getting their processes in place, being together on the road does bring you together, there's no doubt about it, and they just showed their true class. You know, hats off to management, to Fozzie. You know, I'm an All Black supporter like most. I encourage anyone to be have their own opinion, but make sure it's based on some solid ground, mate, and you don't want to get personal with people, and I think he shut the door on a few naysayers. Good result, good team effort, and the Aussies in disarray, for sure.
Yeah, it looks like they haven't got the depth. The thing I thought about the game, Richie Mwanga was brilliant. I thought he just had the ball on a string, and obviously having Bowden Barrett there as that double first 5-8 combination. But a guy I was really impressed with was Sam Whitelock.
Yeah, look, you just took the words out of my mouth. You know, it always starts up front. And the Aussies were on the back foot. Never really gave them a chance. A bit closer than I thought in going into half time. The Aussies would have taken that, but they didn't really. They needed to fire first. But Sam Whitelock, as you said, line out balls, the basics. Scrum was quietly dominant, and he was around the field taking it up time and time again. So big ups for Sam Whitelock. He stood his ground, and that's why he's part of the leadership group. You know, it showed on the park on the weekend.
It certainly did, and I have to say I was really impressed. You know, it's just a really good display. Good old Rico only stuck the ball down, so that was fantastic. But Dane Coles also had a great match. Now, I really felt the Aussies were lacking a bit of ability. I believe they missed James O'Connor.
Oh, undoubtedly. And the boy, is it Tamura in the second five?
Yeah, their leaders
it's
in that back
combination
line.
And... I think if it's your halfback, he missed that too. Look, the young boy, he came in, but you can certainly see just not up to that standard yet. Whether he gets another opportunity, I'm sure he will. But look, can they resurrect it in time next week? I'm not sure. I don't expect it to be the same score. I'd be very surprised if it was, because I'd certainly be hurting if I was an Australian test player on the weekend. But, you know, the All Blacks, as you mentioned, Richie Mwanga on fire. You know, Aaron Smith dotting around there, and good display again by the skipper. I think Sam Kane's really coming into his own, and they were just dominant in all phases. I just think in that second half, probably after the first the 20 minutes into the second half, it got a bit scrappy and it was sort of going nowhere. and then they just hit those afterburners for that last 10, didn't they? And away they went.
They certainly did. And I have to say, would you make any changes for next Saturday?
I think there possibly could one or two. I don't know whether the boy Savia is coming back, whether he slots in. Hoskins Satutu did as he was asked. Just trying to get some combinations, maybe an opportunity to give one or two guys sitting on the bench a go, and I don't see any reason why not. You're there for another 3 or 4 weeks. They're going to need some game time. So, just a couple of changes. It's still Australia, and they still want to win the Test match.
They certainly do. Now we head to the Mitre 10 Cup. Now, I know that you will be happy with the table of the Premiership. Auckland's on top, and on bottom is Canterbury. Now, you must have a smile on your face as big as Texas.
Well, look, I do and I don't. I mean, luckily I haven't been in that position, but Canterbury, what a turnaround. Who would have picked this? Would have won some great odds on the TAB, but good on Otago. Look, I think the competition is a lot more even than it has been in the past. I think it's great. I think there's some young players stepping up, and history means nothing in this competition. It's very close. And Otago, they're coming together under Tom Donnelly. I mean, I wouldn't have picked them to where they are at the start of the season. So I've got to eat a bit of humble pie. But when you've got Ione, you've got Tomkinson there, that young boy Timu. Karori in the back line, they just look so dangerous. And you know what? They're mixing it up front. And who would think they would have taken on Canterbury in the forwards and really were the dominant team up front?
Oh, yeah, they always looked, ahead in that game. Now, obviously, the 2:05 game on Saturday at Jerry Collins Stadium, in terrible conditions, Tasman 19, Wellington 3.
Yeah, look, I think we were all pretty certain, well, I was, that even though Wellington playing at the stadium, that Tasman had to come out on fire. And they did enough. As you said, the weather wasn't the best, but they were just too strong in the scrum there. Going for Cassie and Salmon in the front row, and that Christie and Hunt combination, Nangerville, just too strong. And I thought they were the better team, and I was quite impressed with the boy Harvilli on the side. So just too strong for Wellington, never really got in the game and on the backcourt, so didn't really look as though they were going to take Tasman apart on the day.
Yeah, and of course then North Harbour had a good win over Northland 24-8, and of course Auckland, top of the table, 31-10 win over Waikato. Reasi, 3 tries. Sione Tu Piloto, who is an Eden boy, scored the other try. So, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know why I mentioned Eden in here, AJ. I've just got, it must be on the mind.
You're allowed to mention your own team. And look, they needed a better match. I thought very obviously scrappy last week, so they came to the party. Good foundation up front there. Once again, I like that boy Gibson. I think he's just a toiler all day. And out wide, of course, Reasi was on fire. Did he score 3 tries?
He scored 3 tries, hat-trick.
Yeah, look, he's a form winger in the competition at the moment. And very impressed with the forwards. And I think just mentally they got it together. Waikato, who were top of the table, they just certainly dominant and... some of their players didn't, Messam tried hard, Jacobson, they're a good team, but they were just going backwards and they paid the price.
And of course, then there was the Battle of the Bays yesterday. I had a quick look at it. That was a really good game. Bay of Plenty 22, Hawke's Bay 17. Now putting a little bit of pressure, Bay of Plenty are on their top 4 in the Premiership. So that was a great game. And Hawke's Bay, despite the loss, are still leading the championship. Manawatu had a 24-12 win over Southland. They're finally on the board. And, of course, Kieran Reid, County's Manukau, had a good win against Taranaki away in Inglewood, and Kieran Reid is signing off in style.
Yeah, no, it's, big ups for Kieran. And obviously he's now to play a certain amount of games, a contract to Toyota Verblitz. He's on his way. Great for those young guys. I think it's been well documented what he's brought to the table with his experience with counties. Still quite a young side there, a lot of talent, but they're desperate for a win. I think that the Robinson and Ledger and Fulakai at midfield played really well. But the forwards, again, set the foundation. Pretty good front row, solid one, and in the middle there with Slade and Martin. But Kieran Reid, I think he'd be very happy signing off with a win. Get on that plane, you feel a lot better. And Taranaki, well, they're just up and down, aren't they? I think the Potros, the fullbacks, come on pretty well there, Piggy. But
I just feel some of his option taking is at times not really there.
Yep.
Just one other thing, the Wharepalmer Cup was a final, and of course Canterbury have got something to smile about because they had a tough 8-7 win over Waikato.
Yeah, look, I think, I was cheering for Waikato, I'll be honest. I thought they did it. But they were, let's be honest, I mean, Canterbury women were dominant, but it was just some great tackling and kicking from the first, second, 5-8 that kept Waikato in it, and just the hooter was going. You sort of felt it was coming, though. They couldn't quite hold on to the ball. They turned it over, tried to get out of their 22 and kick it down the end, but a couple of wrong options, and just goes to show that the Canterbury women are a true champions, and they hold the trophy for, the fourth time in a row?
Yeah, they've got a bit of a dynasty there at the moment. I have to say, AJ, it's always great having a chat. I'll be definitely looking forward to buying you a few few drinking vouchers on Saturday if we catch up. I bet you anything, McCahill will probably turn up for the game. No, and McCahill will turn up.
Well, typical Marist. Whenever someone's got their hand out for a drink, you know, they need to throw away those Marist boys. So yeah. It wouldn't surprise me, Peggy, but you know what? He's a good bugger. So,
he is a good bugger. And I do have a lot of time. So, looking forward to next Saturday. And I'll give you a text during the week about for the show for next Monday. But hopefully we can sit down, chew the fat, and have a few beers.
Look forward to it, mate. Thanks. Look after yourself.
Thanks a lot, AJ. That was AJ Whitten, everyone. We're just going to go to a bit of music, and then we're going to do some Mike Brown, former Friday Flash editor, is going to give us Melbourne Cup picks. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review. Well, tomorrow, the race that stops Two Nations is on. It's going to have no crowds on there, but everyone who, there's always, you know, even in, you know, we're so used to having an office sweepstake, we all always look forward to this race every year. Now, on the line, I have the former editor of formerly the Bible of New Zealand sport, of New Zealand horse racing, the Sport of Kings. I'd like to introduce online Mike Brown. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you going?
I'm doing very well, Eamon, but as you say, picking the Melbourne Cup winner, I think it's easier winning a raffle at the club than picking the Melbourne Cup winner. I've been to a few, but the first time I went there, had to watch the race at the at the back of the stand because I couldn't see anything. All the stands were chocker and I had to watch it on the TV. But it's going to be very, very different with no crowd there tomorrow.
It's going to be a very, very strange experience for a lot of us who love horse racing. Anyway, I tell you what, this field, this one's a really hard one to pick this year.
Very even this year.
Yeah, you've got Tiger Moth, you've got Surprise Baby people are talking about, you've got Very Elegant trying to do a Caulfield Melbourne Cup double, you know, and you've got outsiders like Master of Reality and The Chosen One. What would be your picks for the race for tomorrow?
Well, the favourite at the moment is number 21 Tiger Moth, but I can't get my head around a horse just having its fifth race start ever, going into a Melbourne Cup and winning it. That just seems too big a jump for me. It's like someone coming out of primary school and playing in the first 15 sort of thing. But yeah. I just think it's too tough a task. I do like the visitors. My first pick was number 12, Prince of Arran. Now, this has got a lot of similarities to Prince of Penzance a few years back. Of course, ridden by Michelle Payne, first woman rider to win a Melbourne Cup. And Prince of Arran this year is going to be ridden by Jamie Carr, who's really been racking up the winners lately in Melbourne. And it's drawn barrier one, same as what Prince of Penzance did, and a lot of similarities. This is his third attempt at the Cup. He's placed at his previous two. He made up a heap of ground to finish fourth in the Caulfield Cup. He tailed the field, improved wide on the home turn, running on strongly to finish fourth. Two races under his belt in the Melbourne Cup. I think this is his turn this year.
Who would you pick for the Cronulla with Prince of Arran?
Well, I'm going with number 11, Finch. It's got our own James McDonald, the Kiwi jockey, on board tomorrow. This is also his third attempt at the race. His first two, he wasn't that far away from the winner. 3.5 lengths, I think, was his furthest margin back. But his Caulfield Cup run was one out of the box. He was fifth wide and running. He was wider at the 600 metres to make up his challenge. He got buffeted by rivals either side in the home straight. He still did well through the middle to finish fifth. As I say, to be ridden by James McDonald, another horse's third attempt at the Cup, only 54.5 kilos on his back. Nice handy draw of six. He's going to get all chances there.
Now, who would he pick for a real roughie in this? Do you think Vow and Declare has got a chance at all, or...?
Well, Vow and Declare won the race last year, but he only carried about 51 kilos. He's back up in the weights now. He's going to find it very difficult. I'll go up the top of it. Number 2, Avelis, for me. Ran the $30 mark, especially if there's any rain. His Caulfield Cup effort, he got back on the inner, improved through the middle of the pack with 600 metres to go, and then ran into a traffic jam. And he was clear too late, and he hit the line strongly to finish sixth. Trained by James Cummings, grandson of the late Bart Cummings. So he'll have all the family info how to win the race. But as I say, a bit of rain comes right into it at the $30 mark.
Yeah, well, do you think The Chosen One has got any chance? Like, it's paying quite big money in Australia. But, you know, I've heard from a lot of people tip in, have a look at this horse.
Yeah, he has won at Flemington before. Just got beaten ahead in the Sydney Cup this year. Didn't do very well in the Melbourne Cup last year, but he ran third in the Caulfield Cup. Trained by Murray Baker, who knows how to train big race winners in Aussie, him and his deputy Andrew Forsman. Also be Cherry Ripe, and he showed he wasn't far off running that good race in the Caulfield Cup. So he's got to be amongst it at good odds, but maybe he might be a bit too short on the New Zealand tote.
Oh, he possibly is. Yeah, he's paying good money in Australia. That's all I can say on that one. But this is going to be one of the tougher ones to pick this year. Mike, it's just the field, any of those horses could have won that.
Yeah, well, even part-owned New Zealander, Very Elegant, because not many horses can win the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup, and she's gone up a bit of weight, or half a kilo, I think she's gone up on her Caulfield Cup win, but she's carrying a big weight for a mare. But I don't know if you're aware, she races in the Auckland Rugby Club of Suburbs Colours, owned by Part part owned by Suburbs Rugby stalwart Don Goodwin, and
there'll
be plenty of New Zealanders cheering her on, that's for sure.
As an Eden man, I know Suburbs didn't have a good premier season. I'll give them something to cheer about.
Well, she's done pretty. I think she won about $5 million so far, and her last two races she's won. And but she just keeps creeping up in the handicap. But that's her problem. But she does come into it strongly if they get any rain.
Yeah, well, I have to say that it's this one's going to be a good one. I put down your picks, and I hope the people listening are really have a listen to this, and because I'm going to be going down to a wee TAB and sticking a few dollars. I'll have you, because up next I've got your good old mate of yours, Mr. Brendan McNeice, on the line. He said he's got the hot oil, and I said, listen, I've got an expert on here, mate. It was an expert. You gave me the number four. So have to say, Mike, I hope you enjoy the Melbourne Cup. Will you be out at Ellerslie tomorrow?
No, I won't be. I've got a bit of work to do in the morning to get to my club, and everyone will be asking me for the winner. So hopefully it will be one of the ones that I've tipped your listeners today.
Oh, that'd be great. And we hope that over the summer period we can actually have a chat during the summer series of races, which I'm really looking forward to. Boxing Day races is always a big favourite of mine at Ellerslie. So we could catch up and have a quiet beer and pick a few winners.
Thanks very much,
Eamon.
Good luck.
Yeah, cheers. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mike Brown, former editor of the Friday Flashers. Flash, or not the Flashers, I got that wrong. It always is good fun doing this show. Anyway, we're going to put on a bit of music, and then we will have, for your entertainment, Brendan McNeice. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review, and after a very, very tough weekend in Wellington, I had the pleasure of meeting this man. He was on his way to a Father Ted's evening at D4, and he was definitely Father Jack before he got there. I don't know what he was like at the end of the night, but I have to say it's a very good afternoon to my old buddy, Brendan McNeice. Good afternoon, Mr. McNeice.
Good afternoon, Eamon. Yeah, it was great to catch up at the weekend. It was really a lot of fun, a lot of old stories and a few loopy lemonades. And it was awesome to catch up with your good mates, Stu the Biz and Penny, top fellas like yourself. And you're more than welcome down any time next time.
Yeah, well, it was Pitsy, so possibly we had some really, really good laughs, and it was great actually I hadn't seen you in a long time, and some things didn't change was the pace of the Loopy Lemonades. Anyway.
Hey, look, it was a great weekend, and look, it's going to be a great week as well. And of course, tomorrow we've got the Melbourne Cup, and I'm just so really really excited about that as well. I've just been checking out the odds for you, and the draw has been made. Eamon, and Surprise Baby is the favourite on the Australian TAB at nines, yep. And then the Aidan O'Brien horse has got the dream draw of three. That's Anthony Van Dyke, the winner of the Derby, winner of the English Derby, beat all the best 3 year olds in Europe. It's heavily fancied. Prince of Arran 9-1. Tiger Moth, the other O'Brien entry, has drawn the car park 23. And if you're familiar with Flemington at all, 23 is not where you want to be at when they leave, with the 1600. It's a very, very short run into the first corner. And it's a bit of a stock car race to try and get into any sort of a good position. And of course, you can still get 10-1 on the Cups Plate winner who's carrying a featherweight. So Dragon Air, 10-1, sensational. And of course, the Kiwi, the heavily fancy Kiwi, very elegant at 11-1. So a very, very open, competitive Melbourne Cup. And just can't wait.
Yeah, I have to say, when I was speaking with Mike just a moment ago, I tell you what, Sir Elegant, we don't very rarely see a Caulfield Melbourne Cup double, Brendan.
Very, very rarely, and it's a long time. And wouldn't it be great for New Zealand horse industry, for the breeding industry, for all of the people who are involved? We're going through a wee bit of a tough time, and that's in the state of the Tasman with our racing industry, and that would just give it the shot in the arm that it needs. So, of course, the Irish horses are all very well fancied. There could be an Irish 1-2-3, but my heart's with the Kiwi, and I'd really love to see them getting up.
Sounds good. Well, it looks like situation normal back in the Premiership, Brendan.
Oh, look, yeah, mate. Manchester United, for God's sake, their Old Trafford misery for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and United continues. What was Paul Pogba doing? Well, look, how much did they pay for that fella? £90 million. Like he's got all the grace of a drunk pantomime horse falling down a flight of stairs. And look, that was just disgraceful.
It was, and I have to say that, what's the next excuse going to be out of Old Trafford? Oh, we concentrated on Europe this early part of the season because
I don't know what they're concentrating on, because they're yet to win in the league at Old Trafford, and we're near Christmas here. Come on, it's Manchester United you're talking about.
Oh, no, shocking.
And look, I just tell. Because it's a sort of a betting week, I had a look at the Premier League odds, and the still underwhelming Manchester City are the $2.30 favourites, Eamon, still to win the league. You can get $2.87 on Liverpool. If you're game enough, second place Spurs, who had a decent win over Brighton today, Gareth Bale. It's not bad when you can bring Gareth Bale on as a sub. So yeah. Jose Mourinho's team at 8-1 if you're game enough. Then you go out to Chelsea, 13-1, and then Arsenal and Manchester United 33-1, the pair of them. So
Jesus,
that's the betting in the Premier League. Who wouldn't mind maybe a tenner on Tottenham?
I think a tenner on Tottenham could be. I reckon they could be the ones that could dethrone Liverpool.
Upset the apple cart.
Oh, they would, and I'll tell you something, if you can bring Gareth Bale off the bench to score the winner, that's not too bad. I think I'd rather have Gareth Bale wearing Manchester United colours, but I don't know whether he as good as he is, even if he can stop the slide. Anyway, what was some of your...
Some of the other, when we were saying on the show a couple of weeks ago, what sort of a crazy season it is, and then, you have... You have Southampton 4-0 up against Villa, and they come back to 4-3. What's going on? That's crazy. Everton, unfortunately, seemed to have flattered to deceive at the start of the season. They looked the world beaters at the very start of the season, and then a Callum Wilson double at Newcastle. Yeah. They've succumbed 2-1. So the luster start to go off their season as well. Liverpool had a what you could call a fairly standard workmanlike 2-1 win over West Ham. And Manchester City again, they 1-0 away to Sheffield United, but they're not setting the world on fire. Maybe that's part of the plan that we don't know about. It's a master plan.
It possibly is. I'll tell you what, there's going to be a real good one tomorrow. Leeds Leicester, that should be really interesting.
Absolutely, and you can still get 50-1 over 50-1 on Leicester if you're keen to win the league. And of course, they did win the league a few years ago at 4,000-1.
Yes.
So it's all good. So looking forward to a big day tomorrow, Eamon. And what's your fancy for the Melbourne Cup?
I tell you what, I'm actually going to go for. I'm thinking about taking Finchie, James McDonald's horse.
Right.
And
right.
The reason I said it is the reason I've gone for him because. A, anything that James McDonald's on usually means success. B,
right.
It's had a little bit of form coming into it, and I think their barrier draw is actually quite good for it.
Okay, well, what sort of money is that paying?
I haven't got the odds in front of me at the moment. I'm scurrying around the thing, but...
It'll be an interesting race, and of course, even the first Melbourne Cup...
It's going to be a weird experience, Brendan. It's going to be a weird experience.
Yes, either way. But the first Melbourne Cup ever to be held without a crowd. Like, because the Melbourne Cup is like a religion, of course. I've been to 3 myself, and I was part of the record crowd of 138,000 there at the time Ireland... The Irish rugby team were playing in Melbourne for the Rugby World Cup.
Oh, wow.
And you just couldn't move. It was absolutely sensational. And the first ever Melbourne Cup, they had 100,000 people at the first ever Melbourne Cup, and that was actually 50% of the population of Melbourne at the time.
Jeez, that's a bit of history you're bringing up. I tell you what's happening now. You've had a crack at me about Manchester United. I see Rangers are leading the SPL.
Well, but it's only lent to them. They've only got it on higher purchase at the moment because they said they're going for the quadruple, and they had a good win over. Good win over Aberdeen last night, 2-0, to get into the final. They'll be playing Hearts in December in the delayed final of the Scottish FA Cup. And should Celtic win that, that'll be the quadruple treble, which has never been done before. Neither was the treble, but the quadruple treble certainly never been done before.
Jesus.
So looking forward to that. Celtic had a very creditable draw against a very, very good Lille team in France during the week of the Europa League. We're getting our players back from COVID. Of course, Rangers are all cock-a-hoop and they reckon that they've got under Celtic skin, but show us the silverware.
Absolutely. Show us the silverware. Show us the money, as they say. Now, apart from that, what have you got planned for the rest of the week? Are you going to be watching the American elections, Brendan?
Certainly am.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm riding with Biden.
Rephrase it, Mr. McNeice.
I just hope old Joe will get, if he stays awake long enough for the inauguration ceremony, it'll be absolutely fantastic. But my wife's actually the expert on American politics, and she was telling me that there's already allegations of vote rigging and all sorts of scurrilous behaviour going on in America. So let's hope the land of the free and the brave actually can do a democratic and free election.
Well, let's hope when the inauguration, if Joe Biden wins, that he's not listening to our show, because we'll definitely put him to sleep.
I tell you, it wouldn't take much to put Joe to sleep. he'd be working his mid-80s by the time the term would be finished. So, it's fair to say he's got a bit of experience.
I think he's got a bit of experience. He's an inspiration to us all. It's an inspiration for you if you ever want to enter politics.
Absolutely. So now I'll be looking forward to that. I'd like to. I think I'd like probably 90% of New Zealand would like to see the RSA under Donald Trump, as I think he's divisive and just basically not a very nice person. So anybody but Trump, ABT.
Absolutely. Now, when you get to the pub on Saturday, get there a bit early so you can watch the restricted final on Sky Sports, the Mighty Eden Lizards. I'll be expecting your support from there, Brendan.
Oh, you'll be able to hear me, no problem at all. And go the Mighty Lizards.
Oh, that's brilliant. Unfortunately, one of the people you were speaking to has got a family holiday. I don't know, how would you negotiate out of that to get to that final?
Well, you see, the thing is that he would definitely need to go and see that if he could get some special strategies, maybe out of the Pentagon or somewhere. But I'm well used to it. I've been able to organise some late rails runs myself with She That Must Be Obeyed from time to time, but it does take some slippery manoeuvres.
Well, I've actually told this person, I won't name who he is that I don't even think the UN can help him out in the situation.
He needs money, guns and lawyers.
Well, and I don't think he's got much of that. So I think he's planted a strategy of negotiation at the moment, but I hope he's able to make the final on Saturday, because he's been a huge part of this team. So anyway, Brendan, it was fantastic catching up with you on Saturday. It was good to see that things haven't changed in the way of consumption.
Yes. And it's the same with yourself, and I wish you all the best with your punts in the Melbourne Cup, and we'll see how I go. But I suppose my heart's with the Kiwi, very elegant. And my head's with the Irish one, Anthony Van Dijk. So we'll see how we go.
I tell you what, we've had two very, very good tips on the show today. As per usual, you have a wonderful week, Mr. McNeice, and we'll have a wee talk about some football, racing, and maybe anything we want to on next Monday.
Anything our heart desires. Hey, top man, Evan, and we'll catch you next week.
We certainly will. Great catching up with you over the weekend. See you later, Brendan.
All the best, anytime. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, well, that was our bit of football, banter, horse racing, politics, all into one. Next up, we'll have a bit of sensibility with the panel next. So we'll just play a bit of music, and I'll try and get Sean Summerfield and Mark Watson on to you next.
And look how the sun shines from under the clouds. There's no gas, no barbed wire, there's no gun firing now. But here in this graveyard, it's still no man's land. The countless white crosses stand mute in the sand. To man's blind indifference to his fellow man. To a whole generation that were butchered and damned. Did he beat the drum slowly? Did he play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as he lowered you down? And did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the fall? A young Willie, my bride, I can't help wonder why. Do those that lie know why did they die? And did they believe when they answered the call? Did they really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the sorrow, the suffering, the glory, the pain, the killing and dying were all done in vain. For young Willie McBride, it all happened again and again and again and again and again. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the fife slowly? Did they sound the death march as he lowered you down? Did the band play the last post and chorus? Did the pipes played the flowers of the forest. They beat the drum slowly, they play the fife slowly, they sound the death march as the law would you down. Did the band play the last post and chorus? And did the pipes play the flowers of the fall?
That was a beautiful song by the Furies, a great Irish band, and I always enjoy listening to them. Anyway, we've got a bit of, after McNeice, we've got a little bit of sensibility to the show. We have our panellists back, and it's great to have them back this week. And it's good morning to Mr. Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Mr. Sean Summerfield.
I can't believe you cut somebody off there.
No, I didn't. He finished the song. I watched the time.
Okay.
Yeah, and have you noticed, and good afternoon to you too, Mark.
Afternoon to you, gentlemen.
Yeah, hey, hey, just mate. Before we get any further, have you noticed something before we started? There hasn't been a mistake, technical mistake, yet.
Yeah,
well, I'm just thinking that. Anyway, I hope you both had a fantastic weekend. Now, did we enjoy the All Blacks Wallabies on Saturday?
Yeah, look, I've got to say, I looked. The 10 o'clock thing starts to feel a bit late as you get a bit older with two kids these days. But, look, I did enjoy it. We got off to a good start. But I think what it actually just highlighted was that Australia, you know, when they've got their full contingent of players, are sort of in the contest, but they just don't have a lot of depth, do they? And they lose some marquee players. And really, it just shows, I guess, the weakness in Australian rugby, or just the complete and utter lack of depth that it does exist. And it's always been the strength of New Zealand rugby. We've just spoiled for choices in different positions, aren't we? But yeah, good start. Good to see Richie Mwanga sort of really starting to sort of see him sort of fulfil his potential in the All Black jersey. We've seen him do a lot of that for the Crusaders, and we've seen him do a lot of that at Super Rugby, but we probably really haven't seen the best of Mwanga, I don't think, at first five in terms of the running game. But nice to see that over the weekend. Yeah, look, I'll throw it over to you, Sean, and then I've got a few other comments.
Yeah, I tell you what, White Lock, I might think they're more of a difference than anyone realises in the dark there. He was just awesome. I reckon Sam Kane is just coming into it. We actually saw a captain enjoying himself after the game, which I don't think is a bad thing, but I'm with you on Mwanga. Just beautiful to watch, and him and Barrett, as a 10 and 15, just an amazing pairing, just awesome stuff.
Interesting, though, you know, the big reputations of guys like the Tongan Thor Tupou, who they brought in off the bench, and you hear the commentators sort of suggesting that it was a mistake not starting them. And I probably agree with that, but what you also saw was another difference in New Zealand rugby, just how much emphasis we do place on scrummaging and technique. And I felt when particularly Alex Hodgman came on, he just did a demolition on the Tongan Thor, and I think there was a big difference there. You know, it's all very well looking the part, it's all very well being sort of a bit of a bulldozer in areas, but you know, that scrummaging and that technical side of it, I think he was found out. Rico Iwani came on, you just saw his quick acceleration too. I mean, that guy is a winger all day. He should be on that wing ahead of Geordie Barrett, in my opinion. And Geordie Barrett, if he's going to be in that team, should be playing at fullback or should be at least on the bench covering some sort of position. And I'd still just really, really do want to go and see Goodyear and Co just swap positions there in the midfield. And, you know, I still think Jack's more of a centre than he is a second 5'8", but in saying that, he played reasonably well there. But, yeah, I'll pick up on Sean's comments. I think Sam Kane surprised me somewhat in terms of he's been empowered with this captaincy, and we're seeing a different Sam Kane. I think we're seeing, you know, I think a couple of weeks ago, and I might have mentioned it, I just felt we didn't really have a lot of real go forward, and that our loose forwards, I don't know, just didn't seem to have that explosiveness about them. But Sam Kane is really coming into his own, and I think, probably myself included, I think he's starting to turn a few doubters around too with the way he has really taken this captaincy on board. What I'd like to see, though, in all honesty, is to see this All Black team up against, you know, a full-strength England team, a full-strength South African side, just to sort of, I guess, get a much better indication of where we are truly at.
Have we ever had a better stock of props. Not just the top two, but it's, so we've got probably seven blokes who are all world class. We really start going back through it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, and I think that's again going back to this thing where we've placed so much emphasis now on, you know, Mike Cron just placing so much emphasis on the technical abilities of our forwards and that ability to be able to scrum. And, you know, I think at times, and I felt sort of in the last couple of years, you know, it's come at the expense of maybe some mobility. But we seem to be trying to sort of get that balance right now. And I know that was part of the reason when Hodgman was brought in, because they felt that he, you know, had a little bit more around the park. So, yeah, thoroughly enjoyable. Disappointing for Australian rugby, but I actually think that, you know, they bring O'Connor back in, I think, this weekend. You know, we'll see sort of more fight from the Wallabies. It was a really, really disappointing performance from them. They just didn't show up.
We won the moustache too, really.
Oh, the moustaches were the big cows, mate. The best moustache.
Yeah,
well,
it's a proper, it's a police-level moustache.
Oh, yeah, well, you've got to have the mo. You can't. Just on one thing, guys, do you reckon the All Blacks should make any changes for this next game?
Well, I mean, you can ring the changes to try and develop depth and reward some players that have been in that squad, but, I mean, we're playing so few tests this year, I just think it's, you know, I think if you ask the players, they probably all want to play. Like I say, I would just like to see Yawani go back onto the wing. I'd like to see maybe Geordie Barrett start at fullback, and let's just see what he can do there.
Let's try Clark in at centre. I'm waiting for you to bring that one up.
don't mess with the Manaba Grammar boys in that team, eh? They just know their place, they know their positions, they're well skilled. Very humble.
It's a tough one though, because you're talking about, you know, what do? You put Geordie at fullback, then you look, you've got Damien McKenzie there as well. You know, we have depth in some positions. It's just amazing. And I love the way the halfback thing works now. Smith and Perenara as, you know, sort of two men throughout the game, that works perfectly. They both bring their own little nuances to the way they play. I think it's fantastic. And back to Mwanga, he still looked completely fresh at the end of that game. He did a lot of running.
It's interesting though, isn't it? I was never a big fan of Kieran Reid at eight. I felt he was a good player, but I didn't sort of put him in the category of the greats. And it was a nice way to send off for him, with Counties getting the victory over Taranaki and the dying stages of that particular game. But I don't know, if we just don't. I haven't heard too many people say, "No, we're missing Kieran Reid in the All Black team," and maybe that's credit to Sam Kane.
It certainly is. Hey, guys, just on a bit of motorsport, Sean, another young New Zealander, Courtney Duncan, women's world motocross champion.
Yeah, she's a classic too, and she's backed it up, defence. And what's amazing is she backed it up after a horrific crash. I mean, she came down and, you know, smashed her handlebars and threw away the lead of the championship. So she went into this last race, or last round, really having it going against her. And of course, in the penultimate race, she actually comes off the bike and comes back from dead last. Just incredible that she did it. Just amazing to come from dead last off the bike to pass everyone to take the win. And then obviously that gave her a fifth win of the season. And even though she didn't win the last race, it came to a count back. She tied, and she took the title. So just a complete class act. The girl from Palmerston, that's Palmerston South, by the way, not Palmerston North.
Yep, I know Palmerston South.
Yep, just awesome stuff.
And, of course, Lewis Hamilton, he just keeps on winning, mate.
Yeah, things sort of go...
A situation normal at the moment.
A few problems for Verstappen and things like that, and... But you can't take it away. Mercedes have got another title. They've matched Ferrari's run with Schumacher from 99 through to 04. They seem unbeatable. In fact, I think the only thing that will beat them is if Mercedes decide We might just focus on electric racing or something like that. It's more environmentally friendly, best PR. But aside from that, they just do everything right. They're so hard on themselves. They've got two guys that are happy to be teammates. Well, from what seems happy, and that's a really hard thing to get. But it is cyclical. I just wonder how big this cycle's going to be. But it's hard to knock Hamilton. He's just, you know, he's doing it every time. And when he doesn't quite do it, fate seems to be on his side.
It certainly does. Hey, guys, are we all going to have a wee flutter on the Melbourne Cup tomorrow?
Las Vegas wasn't built on winners.
Come on, Mark.
I'm with you there, Mark. Always wonder how, you know, these casinos are so big and flash and think, who pays for them, you know?
Yeah, but
I think you always have a flutter, don't you? But I've never really been one betting on sport full stop, but I'll probably just go and have a wee look tomorrow and sort of have a look. And I always like to sort of just see those horses that in their last three or four starts that are on the cusp of a victory, you know, might have had a fourth and a third and your sense are sort of just coming right. But look, you know, it's become sort of inundated, hasn't it, with overseas horses these days, a lot of the Irish sort of bred and owned horses. And it'd just be nice if, you know, it'd be nice if we could sort of get back to the ways where it used to be, where it was sort of a New Zealand bred horse winning this Melbourne Cup. But another fascinating sporting event tomorrow, because no crowd either.
No, it's going to feel weird, isn't it?
That's the thing. I was lucky enough way back with the year Ethereal one to be sent to cover the Melbourne Cup. And, you know, an amazing event. And I'm a bit of a doofus when it comes to the GGs, but I've got to say, it was, as an event, a sporting event, it just keeps you in the roar of that crowd when the race starts. That defines the cup as much as any of the great winners, the great trainers, anything. And I tell you, the most interesting thing is I've never seen more stunning women arriving to an event. They look amazing. Fair to say, everyone when they leave, ain't no one looking pretty. It's the roughest thing I've ever seen. Honestly, as a before and after, it was like, you know, 10 years younger and 10 days.
Were you behaved while you were over there, Sean?
I was working damn hard, although there was a very good Irish bar we found later on to celebrate. But I had to be out early the next morning because Ethereal won. And when you've got Kiwi trainer like Sheila Laxon, you know, and you're luck onto a story like that, because boys, it was the only horse I'd followed. I didn't know anything else. So I had to be there. So needless to say, I did behave myself to an extent.
Well, that's good, Sean, because sometimes once you get a bit older, like as we are all, we all need to show a bit of maturity. I might even try that at some stage in my life. Anyway, Mark, what was your sporting commentary of the week?
I just actually wanted to mention the passing of David Barnes, America's Cup sailor, who passed away last week at the young age of 61, I think he was. And David, almost the forgotten man of, you know, New Zealand America's Cup. He was the skipper on board the Big Boat Challenge that took on Dirty Dennis Connor there in 87-88, and Peter Lester was his tactician. And, you know, for a period of time, they actually did win the America's Cup, and then they sort of lost it 3 months later in court, or they won it in court, then they lost it. But he'd been suffering from sort of multiple sclerosis and stuff, and, by all accounts, the who's who of New Zealand yachting turned up to his funeral on Friday and gave him a big farewell. But, you know, I just wanted to just acknowledge him. Again, you know, just one of those very, very sort of, you know, it's a sport full of big and strong personalities, and I guess, but, you know, David Barnes just, an absolute gentleman of the sport, a world-class dinghy sailor in his day. I think he won a number of world championships back in the early 1980s.
Yeah, he won those with Hamish Wilcox.
Yes.
A shame about it. Yeah, he is a bit of a forgotten man of the New Zealand era within the America's Cup, which was under Michael Fay. Anything else catch your eye over the weekend, Mark?
I say it every week, but just enjoying the English Premier League. Good to see Gareth Bale back for Spurs after, you know, basically having the majority of his career, well, in the last 10 years with Real Madrid, and he scored today to give Spurs the 2-1 victory over Brighton. And my mob, Liverpool, are now not playing well, but getting the job done, beating West Ham, a very good West Ham side, yesterday. And so they're sort of still narrowly top of the Premier League. I just find that competition fascinating. I think the lesser teams with maybe not such a rich history are starting to play better and better, and having no crowds there, you're sort of having to see these players bring a different level of professionalism, because they're having to sort of concentrate. They can't rely on the crowds picking them up. They've got to pick themselves up.
Yep.
And, I'd imagine that's probably even a little bit of an eye-opener for some of the coaches and the managers, which players have that capability of doing it.
Yeah, I must admit that there's some really good odds on. I know if anyone is a betting man, 8-1 on Tottenham Hotspur winning the Premier League.
Oh, look, I think they've got a chance. As I say, individuals who win your games, a squad will win you the championships. And, you know, as I mentioned with the Australian rugby team, it's going to come down to depth. It's great if you've got, 15 or players on the field that are good. But if you start to lose a couple and you've got no backup, then you're going to find yourself in trouble over the duration of a season. Sport's just weird at the moment, isn't it? Full stop, without the crowds, it's a much tougher watch. Even watching Scott Dixon, win a couple of weeks ago, having to get out of the car and speaking through face masks. Just the whole world is just so, so bizarre.
It certainly is. Just on this, both of you are very, very happily married men. I have a friend of mine who's been married for a long time now. His team, he's been involved in this team a long time, but his... the better half has organised a bit of a family holiday. And how would you negotiate going from one part of the country to another part of the country to watch a game of rugby? Gentlemen, I need your help on this.
So you need to just give me a little bit more on the scenario. So what, his wife's taking him away and he wants to be somewhere else? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's a team he's been involved with, and he's been involved with it for a number of years. And, of course, this team has never made a final because they're in the final of the National 85 kgs restricted final. And this person is going to be in another part of the country with his family because it was pre-arranged before COVID. How would you negotiate to get to that game?
I'd just go to the game.
Is he in a starting role?
No, but he's a bit of a legendary figure now. Married. I've never seemed to have these problems, but how would you negotiate it? What sort of negotiation skills would he put to it?
It's going to cost. That's the only way around that one.
Credit card. Well, yep, I'm going. Yep. Here's the credit card.
Yep. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
don't get involved in this one, Eamon.
Oh, well, I'm not involved. He's asked me for advice, and I'm trying to give him every tactic. I don't even think the UN would be able to help him out. He's in so much in his negotiation. I think he's going to have to watch a game from TV and where he's going to on a holiday. I know he's listening in, I was going to mention that because myself, Mr. McNeice, and a few other people have given their commentaries. I thought, well, two respectable married men like you two gentlemen.
I sort of joke a little bit that, when I first started going out with my wife, she told me how much she loved rugby and that she used to get up with her father and watch the All Blacks in the middle of the night. Then I put a ring on her finger, and the next day she woke up with amnesia and didn't even know who the All Blacks were.
I'm actually with you. My first date was actually to to watch a game of rugby at the pub. I guarantee that wouldn't happen now. I'm just trying to see who's the Minister of Sports. They're announcing all these ministers now.
Yeah, I wonder who it's
going to be. Can't actually see. I think... Grant Robertson's Deputy Prime Minister, Racing, Infrastructure, Portfolio and Keeps Finance. Oh, she liked him with sport. I can't work it out.
Isn't it just amazing, though, how much emphasis is placed on the racing industry? It's not something I've ever really had any involvement in, but economically it must be huge, because I cannot believe Winston Peters, New Zealand First, for so long placed so much emphasis on the racing industry. I scratch my head over that one.
A bit like McDonald's, right, man? A lot of real estate, that's for sure.
Anyway.
Oh, well, I know, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's part of the reason why it doesn't get the recognition I think the jockeys deserve sometimes at things like Calbert's Awards, because it's seen very much as just, a betting industry, sports betting, sort of keeping the TAB going. And we sort of forget in the background, don't we, about all the breeding and everything that does go on and
okay.
the sales and all
Sorry, the Mark, 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 we're just going to have to shake